And welcome again to our special coverage of the Illinois State Fair. Of course, yesterday, a big day as far as those of us directly involved in agriculture, as it was indeed Agriculture Day at the Illinois State Fair. And of course, that brings a lot of people from farm organizations to those who serve agriculture. And likewise, each year, seemingly, we get a lot of elected officials there. That was the case, of course, this year. And one of the people we got to talk to was Congressman Rodney Davis, who, of course, is on the House Ag Committee. He was there. And as we began the conversation, we made mention of the fact that, well, he's got busy schedule, other places he could be, but always good to see him come to the Illinois State Fair for Agriculture Day.
Great to see you here. You know, this is my district, so I represent the fairgrounds. Always glad to be here. Love coming on Ag Day. Get to see a lot of old friends that I've gotten to know over the last few decades, and it's just fun to be able to see the excitement. I was over in the sheep barn and the goat barn, and just to really see the young kids who really understand the impact that agriculture has in our communities and in our economy.
And that's where our food future is at.
It really is. And Raymond Poe, our ag director, is very good at talking about the potential for jobs within the ag economy. He mentions that we have thousands more job opportunities within the agribusiness sector and the ag economy than we have graduates who are going to be trained to go in those jobs. So I think it's up to our guidance counselors. It's up to our workforce training programs to be able to look at agriculture and say, we've got a high-demand job that needs some more people. And that's exactly how we grow more jobs in our local areas and grow our economy, too.
And likewise, that's one of the important things is we're going to have people to instruct these young people. And I'm thinking so many of the professors and researchers at the U of I and colleges like that are retiring.
You know, they are. And that's not just a problem within the ag education sector. It's also a problem with the nursing sector, too. You know, we've been trying to deal with the nursing shortage for years. And at the same time, many of our nursing professors and nurse educators are retiring without a new crop coming up, and that takes away opportunities. And that's why we need to focus on workforce training, not just for agriculture, not just for nursing, but to really make it appropriate for today's 21st century economy. And that's what we've been doing in Washington, too, in a very bipartisan way.
Well, you'll be here at the fair listening, having farmers come up and talk to you. What's number one on their mind?
Number one on their mind is the farm bill coming up. And also, I mean, outside of the daily prices for our commodities, you know, it's what type, they want to talk to me about policy. It's what type of risk management programs are going to exist. Is crop insurance still going to be the backbone of our risk management tools? And then they tell me why it's working so well as compared to other programs that existed in the past. And that's what we hear most about.
And, of course, the concern is the days are gone, are they not, where we get more direct payments to farmers in times of low commodity prices like we have now?
Absolutely, and rightfully so. We've been able to save taxpayers instead of the estimated $23 billion that the Congressional Budget Office said we would save when we wrote the last farm bill. They came back to us and said they were wrong. Over 3 years, we've saved $104 billion. So changing words on pieces of paper in Washington allows us to save taxpayer dollars and address our fiscal problems in this country. But what we also have got to do is to make sure that we continue to write good policies like that, because that means our policies are working. And going back to direct payments is something that I don't think our farmers want. Our farmers just want to be able to have skin in the game with the crop insurance program we have, to be able to make themselves whole when it doesn't work out based on the risk that they and their families take every year to continue to feed the world.
Why was the CBO off so much?
You're going to have to ask them which dartboard they used.
Well, I guess that's a good response. So does that get credited back to us in any way when we looked at, because all we've heard is that there will be less money to write a farm bill going forward than what we had even in the previous one. I'm thinking, well, you know, if we didn't spend as much as we thought, do we get that credited back in any way?
Well, we're certainly reminding people of what was saved. And that's going to be a fight. We're going to continue to tout those savings, and let's see what that final farm bill number is that we have to write. But I think we can make some innovative approaches and programs, and continue to to save taxpayers' dollars. That's what I went to Washington to do. It's not just to write ag policy, but to write good policies. And the Farm Bill of 2014 that I helped craft is a prime example of where we went in with policies that a government agency said wouldn't work as well as they did. And that government agency, the CBO, was off by over $80 billion. Now, that's the difference between winning the Daily Lotto and a Powerball here in Central Illinois. Our experts shouldn't be off that much, but it also shows that when you have good policies, they're going to work. And that's what we're going to continue to do.
Well, it was nice to have Secretary Perdue in your district.
No, it really was. I wish I could have been with him, but I was out of the country in with a bipartisan group of members in Germany, meeting with German officials. I love the fact that Sonny stopped by. Look forward to working with him. He's going to be back at the Farm Progress Show. We're going to have an ag listening session, just like we've been having throughout the country. He was in Texas and Minnesota participating in those. Those are the types of things that we're going to continue to address, to hear from producers all throughout this country to write a better bill.
And you got to what I wanted to ask, that listening session over at the Farm Progress Show. Can any producer stop by and listen in?
Absolutely. We want to hear from them. They're going to have a chance to ask questions. If it's anything like the ones we did in Texas and Minnesota, it's members of Congress from all over the nation sitting up on stage and listening for 3 hours, not talking. You know, that's probably miraculous that we have that many members of Congress and you don't hear from them.
Well, I know when I was in Washington this spring with our farm broadcasters, of course, you were there and spoke to us, as well as Chairman Conaway and Ranking Member Peterson. The chairman still wants to get this done and done on time.
There's no better planner than Chairman Mike Conaway. He is leading us down a path to be able to get this bill done without any extensions. And I just hope that the political environment allows that to happen and that we can continue to do this in a bipartisan way, and that the farm bill and farm policy doesn't get caught up in politics.
Well, in my observations over the years, Ranking Member Peterson, not a bad guy to work with on the other side of the aisle.
Oh, no, I work with Colin a lot. Great guy. He's one of the reasons why I went to Minnesota, to go to his listening session, because I want to be able to hear from his producers.
So the other thing that's going to be very important to farmers, and really have not seen much of the details out of the House tax plan, is tax reform.
Yeah, I mean, we're working on those details. We've laid out our vision, and our overall bold goal in tax reform is to put more money in the hands of the middle class, and that means that's never been more important than right here in Illinois. After every single Illinois worker's paycheck went down because of the state tax increase just a few weeks ago, so we need to continue to address tax reform issues. Because that's the only way we can grow our economy out of this anemic 1.7% growth that we've seen over the last 8 years. And we're going to be able to do that, make it fairer, flatter, and simpler. And it hasn't been done since 1986. And I think a lot of us have changed since then.
Indeed we have. But some of the things that farmers are able to utilize, income averaging, for example, that's in there from a farm perspective, on the income tax and the depreciation, the writing off on the section from 179 depreciation. Do you think that those will, I mean, those are some of the loopholes that some of the non-ag community might look at and say, boy, that needs to be changed.
Boy, when you look at some of the tax provisions, what I would caution everyone to do is before you look at certain provisions, look at the plans that may be introduced in their totality. Because if we fight over every single provision in the tax code, you know what we get? The status quo. And if that's acceptable, then we're not going to be able to grow our economy as much as we know it can be grown. So let's see the plan. Come in and advocate on behalf of provisions that you think are working. And then let us do our job as policymakers to find out what type of bill we can actually work on, get put together, and most importantly, pass.
And the last issue on tax, of course, stepped up basis in terms of estate taxes. That's very important, at least to most in agriculture, maybe even more so than a complete elimination of estate tax.
Yeah, and the complete elimination of the estate tax is something that we're focused on too. And all of these tax provisions, and which is why it's so important that if you have producers that are using these provisions, come talk to the members of Congress at the House Ag Committee listening session about the tax provisions that are beneficial. and that are useful to grow our ag economy, so that members of Congress that are here can hear that, because regardless of whether or not it comes through the House Ag Committee, we're going to be dealing with the tax reform bill too, even though we're not on the committees of jurisdiction. And those are the types of debates that we need to continue to have.
Well, Congressman, I want to thank you. And as I say oftentimes when I'm talking with Farm Bureau, when they put out action requests, thank you for everything you've done for agriculture. And I hope that many of the farmers and non-farmers here, for what you've done for this district, come up to you during this recess and say thank you for what you've done.
Well, thank you. It's really a privilege to serve. It's a privilege to serve on the Ag Committee, and look forward to doing it for a long time to come.
And I look forward to you being there. Good. Congressman Rodney Davis, thank you.
So, again, good comments from the congressman. Always good to have him there on Agriculture Day, as was Congressman John Shimkus. And we had some few comments from him that we will try to play at a later date. But the day, Ag Day concluded yesterday, so to speak, the main events with the governor's sale of champions. Not any records and not near as high prices as what we've seen, particularly in the last couple of years, but we'll go through those. The Grand Champion steer sold for $50,000. It was sold to the Governor Rauner and his wife. The Grand Champion Land of Lincoln steer brought $29,100. It sold to Brant's, Pease's Bun Gourmet, and Abby Tomhave. The Grand Champion barrel sold to the CME Group for $25,000. The Land of Lincoln barrel was sold for $19,000 to Monsanto, DeKalb and Asgro, Marty and Donna Davis. And the Grand Champion Weather for $8,000 went to the North American Midway Entertainment Company. And the Grand Champion Land of Lincoln Weather went for $5,350 to a group of different buyers. The Grand Champion Meat Goat Weather and Grand Champion Land of Lincoln Meat Goat sold for $4,250 again to a group of buyers. One of the interesting notes that we noted this year, as we talked with one of the people who works with the auction, the Grand Champion poultry pen this year was actually some turkeys. So interesting, the first time that had happened. But again, a very successful sale, maybe not to the level that we have seen in past years, but again, a good sale of champions at the Illinois State Fair. And of course, also yesterday on hand is with the CME Group. They gave out several scholarships. We talked with some spokesmen from there. We'll try to play those comments at a later date as well. But with that, we're out of time. We'll wrap up this special report on this year's Illinois State Fair that continues to run through Sunday.